Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, one and all, to More Insight. I'm your host, Angela D., and we thank you for joining us tonight. Joining us on Sister Girl Network, Inc. Hallelujah. A platform ordained by God to meet our sister girls and brother men where they are in their lives and spirituality. A platform that is about healing from the inside out. You know, it's something when we think about our new life as children of God. There's a transformation and a process that we must be willing to go through. The Word of God tells us in 1 Corinthians 13:11, when I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I respond as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. And what is that telling us? That we must mature. That we must be willing to go through the transformation. Hallelujah. We thank God for this platform. And on tonight, our topic is steadfast and unmovable. Let not sorrow fill your heart. You know, when we look at the churches in Revelation, God got in the lukewarm church. There's no in between. There's no scrabbling on the fence. You're either on his side or you on Satan. There's no in between. There's no lukewarm. And so as we allow the Holy Spirit to take us deeper tonight, to touch each heart, hallelujah, we acknowledge him. Oh, Heavenly Father, we thank you, we honor, we praise you. We give you all praise because you are worthy to be praised. For you are all things to us. You are the way, the truth, and the life. And Lord, we thank you. We honor you, praise you, hallelujah. Oh, because you are the lily of the valley. Oh, Father, we give you all praise and all honor in the name of Jesus. Oh, Lord, we come to your throne with a humble heart, asking you to cleanse our heart and renew a right spirit in each one of us, Father. Lord, we ask that you send forth your warning angels in our atmosphere in the name of Jesus, on our technology. For we plead the blood of Jesus from the crown of our head to the soles of our feet. We plead the blood of Jesus of distraction and hindrance. Oh, let your host of angels rain upon us and the Holy Spirit down us with your anointing power. Lord, give us divine wisdom, knowledge, and understanding as we stand in the name of Jesus. Stand on the wall for one another, for our family, for our neighbors, for those that are lost. We give you all power and glory unto you, Father. And let everything that needs to be revealed, hallelujah, on tonight, Father, let it be revealed. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. Welcome to More Insight. I'm your host, Angela D. Hallelujah. We thank you for joining us. You could dial in at 213-943-3551. Or you can link in through the internet at blogtalkradio.com/more insight. Stay fast and unmovable. Let not sorrow fill your heart. You know, sometimes we don't want to face certain things. Sometimes things become so overwhelming to us, and we would retreat. And how we retreat would be how we are as individuals. And so tonight we're going to go deeper because we're not on the fence about anything. And everything that we are seeing in this world, everything that we have to contend with daily is prophecy. And so as we go deeper, we have to understand that we're in the season and it is all about dividing and conquer. And, you know, that is a war strategy, right, to divide and conquer. When you're going to war in the natural, right, you have a way. You look at the enemy strategies. You look at how you can divide. And when you do that, it's easy to conquer. And so that's where we're at now. It's about divide and conquer, because when one can divide, they will be able to conquer. As children of God, we are no one victim. Do we even know how essential and critical that is to understand we are no one victim? And we thank God for that. But see, that goes in our mindset, right? It is our mindset that we must understand that. I can remember years ago, and I always share bits and pieces of my testimony, because when I think about how God had always shielded me, anointed me, always around to protect me, keeping the angels camp around me. And as I was talking about divine and conquer, and how I was talking about we as children of God, we are no one victim, took me back to years ago when I was in the world, unsaved, knew of God, but was not even thinking about serving God. But there was one thing I used to say in my family because of our story. I used to always say, we ain't nobody's victim. You know, don't feel any pity for me. And see, that's where we have to be, because that's what Satan used, oh, poor me and all that. We go through trials and tribulations. We have downtrodden times, but we have to be willing to stand firm. See, because of the rejection and the hatred, we must be firm in who we are and who we are in Christ. Matthew 10 tells us, and you will be hated by all. You will be hated by all for my name's sake. But he who endures to the end will be saved. Steadfast and unmovable. See, we're in a season where divide and conquer is happening in the household because of that jab, right? Because of the season that we're living in, this pandemic, we was told that these things would come forth. But the Holy Spirit is our comforter to keep us firm in one another, because see, that's why the Word of God even talks so much about like-minded, for being around like-minded, to pull your strength when needed. When we look at steadfast, firm, and unwavering, synonyms, loyal, constant, faithful, and devoted, and that's just to name a few. But then you got unmovable, not able to be moved. When we are steadfast and unmovable, just like the Word of God said, false prophets and teachers are here. They're already here. We ain't waiting for them to come. It is here. But because we are steadfast and unmovable, we cannot be moved. We're firm. We're firm in our faith. We're firm in our understanding. We're firm in our knowledge and in our wisdom. We're not shocked about what's going on. We're not loving those who chose that jab or those who did not. We're not a part of picking up Satan's devices to war against our own kingdom. Daniel even tells us that the wicked should do wickedly with no understanding. But the wise understand. See, we understand what's going on. We understand that in order to stand firm, we need the Holy Spirit because we choose God and not the world. We understand that. There are things that we have to walk in truth about. The Word of God has always warned us throughout the book. And even those books that they call the lost books that are truly connected to the Holy Bible, we are told to what? Not get caught up in Satan's devices, not become so dependent on them that we are easy stray. That we would do anything. Even the Word of God said, even the elect steadfast and unmovable. We are in this season. The Word of God said, let your heart not be filled with sorrow, for God promised you joy. And see, when we're feeling a certain way, because see, you ain't, it's getting so now that as an unvaccinated person, you ain't got to say that you ain't going to be around. You are being rejected. But the Word of God said they will reject you. They will hate you. He even tell us, he love, think it's not strange concerning the five trials, which is to try you. To try you. He said, don't be thinking nothing strange that these things are happening. Even in Matthew, when telling us that we would hear wars and rumors of wars, think not it's strange. We want to stand firm, right? John 16:1-4. These things I have spoken to you should not be made to stumble. They will put you out of the synagogue. Yes, the time is coming that whoever kills you will think that he offers God service. And those things they would do to you because they had not known the Father nor me. But these things I have told you that when the time comes, you may remember that I told you of them. And these things I did not say to you at the beginning because I was with you. John 16:1-4. Oh, sister girl and brother man, let your heart not be filled with sorrow during this season, during these times. Stand firm in your faith. Stand firm in the Word of God. You got to trust the Father. You got to connect with like-minded. You got to be willing to fast and pray, meditate on the Word day and night. You got to be willing to stand so firm where you are steadfast and unshakable. Unmovable. Unshakable too. Hallelujah. You know, the Word of God, even Satan used the Word of God to tempt Jesus. That's why the Word of God is critical in our life. We should not be studying to show ourselves approved, to prove anything to anyone but the Father, to say, Lord, I'm thirsting and hungering after your righteousness. Oh, Father, as I open up your book, hallelujah, Lord, give me revelation, give me understanding. Lord, take me deeper. I'm offering my heart to you, Father. I'm surrendering it all to you, Lord. Let your will be done in my study time. We're going there with a humble heart as we open up. And see, God has put, when Jesus talks in prayer books, that's because there's our hidden treasures. Oh, I'm trying to tell you. There's no confusion. When we first give our life to Christ and we get into the Word of God, it seems such foreign language. But as we thirst and hunger, as we surrender our all to the Father, so not only we already born again, but now we have to go through the transformation, because they always go to our heart, to our mind. It's our soul that must go into transformation, the renewing of our mind, to be made free, set free. You remember when one in the scripture, and Satan bought Satan to tempt Jesus during that time of his willingness. And the Word of God goes, it says, now when the tempter came to him, he said, and that's Satan. When Satan came to Jesus, he said, if you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread. Then Jesus responds. See, Jesus was able to respond the Word of God back to Satan. And then Jesus responds and said, what? It is written, man should not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And then, oh, that's not good enough to Satan. See, he going to keep coming back. He slow walk us. He's always trying to trip us up. So then here comes Satan again, trying to temper me even further. Still using scripture at Jesus, though. And he says, for it is written, he should give his angels charge over you. So Satan's saying, he's telling Jesus, well, it's written that God will give his angels charge over you. What's the problem? And you know, that's scripture that Satan is using. Psalms 91, Luke 4:10. And then here we go again. More scripture Satan is using, where he say, and in their hands they should bear you up, lest you dash your foot against the stone. That's Psalm 91. See, Satan know the word. The demons and witches and warlocks, the satanic. Why do you think that they choose that word spiritually? They have taken that word as claiming it as if it's there. That's why we have to become grounded in our relationship with the Father, grounded in the Word of God. So when the enemy, whoever he may use, try to attack you, tempt you in the Word of God, you do as Jesus did. You do as Jesus did. Because what was Jesus' response to Satan after he tell him, in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against the stone? Then Jesus responds back to Satan with what? The Word of God. And Jesus said, it is written again, you should not tempt the Lord your God. That's in Deuteronomy 6. That's why it's critical that you study and meditate on the Word of God. Because your enemy will always come at you with that. To trip you up, to force you to waver. But you got to stand fast and be unmovable Be not tempted. It is critical that we thirst and hunger for righteousness for ourselves, that we study to show ourselves approved and meditate on the word of God day and night. It will be the word of God that keep us steadfast and unmovable. It will be the word of God. The understanding of what's going on. We must be willing to move from babe. Philippians tells us, let as many are mature have this mind. This is a season where your will be tested ever the more. We are in a war, a spiritual war, and we are not warring against flesh and blood. See, the world is dividing and conquering. And the world is doing that through flesh and blood. Why? To distract those that have no understanding that this is a spiritual thing. To distract those that don't want to walk in truth about the principalities and the spirit's darkness, the darkness of this world. Steadfast and unmovable. The Holy Spirit is our counsel. The Holy Spirit give us wisdom. The Holy Spirit help us to make the right decision. The Holy Spirit comfort us in the way in our darkest times. The Holy Spirit will comfort us. See, because we're dealing with a time we never dealt with before. Oh, yes, we are. You know, sometimes when we're sitting back and we're seeing things that's going on, there's no coincidence why we see certain things. I'm talking about individually seeing certain things or things are revealed to us, or we see not just a situation, but maybe a person. And at that moment, the Holy Spirit allow us to see something that we never seen before. It is to allow us to be aware, praying, fasting, coming one together to strengthen one another. Even when we look at First Corinthians 15:58. 1 Corinthians 15:58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abiding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain. Your labor is not in vain in the Lord. That's 1 Corinthians 15:58. Apostle Paul, he's talking to the love church. Revelation, the loveless church that has fallen away, being led by another gospel. And he's trying to encourage them. Stay fast. Be unmovable. He wanted them to be faithful to everything he had taught them. When the Holy Spirit is leading us, have led us and leading us into truth. At the beginning of all that, there's a hesitation because, see, the real truth will come from the Holy Spirit, and it will go against everything we thought we knew. And so we have to be willing to stand on that in the tough times. To be steadfast and unmovable is to be spiritually grounded through the Holy Spirit. Without the Holy Spirit, without the Word of God to speak into existence, to speak into that atmosphere, to counter that temptation, we will be able to be moved. Because the frustration, you know, we went through training, boot camp training for that year or so, once the pandemic was revealed. We went through boot camp training. That's what that was. And during that time, that was a time for us to become more disciplined. More discipline and obedience and faithful. See, that was the time that we could break those bondage of the of world, Satan devices, right? We couldn't go out. But then you had false hope that came. And see, we have to understand the world that we live in, the principality. The Word of God already told us that Satan is the father of this world. He is the father of this world. So he have a hand on everything of this world. But God has given us what we need to walk in our power and authority in this world. So during that year or so in the shedding, that was our boot camp. For us that got too comfortable with worldly things, and it was shut down and we couldn't receive, for us to renew our mindset, for us to draw closer to the Father, for us to build our relationship, for us to become disciplined, obedient, faithful for the little. Because, see, we couldn't go out and buy all that stuff we normally bought. And so we had to become disciplined in the little. Oh, I'm trying to tell you. I had a family member, and, you know, we're really close. And we talk about so much stuff, but we always talk about whatever we're going through and stuff. It's, you know, I'm her rock and she my rock, and we pray to God. But, you know, you always need someone that you can be vulnerable with. But me and my family member, we always giggle because we talk about when we was young, right? Because my mom and her mom was very close. And so we grew up around each other, close like sisters for real. And so we will always giggle and we say that my mom and her mom, if they had not taught us anything, they taught us survival. They was the type of women that taught us how to vibe on certain things, to have certain things in your house always, taught us how to shop. I'm telling you, for real, all my family, as far as even my siblings and my first cousins, I guarantee you every last one of them got a deep freezer. I know of some, but I'm guarantee you everybody got it. I haven't asked them, because that's how we was raised, to survive on not feeling like we have to have so much stuff, knowing how to shop when certain things is on sale, knowing to keep certain things in our house comfortable, feeling okay, can eat beans, right? Didn't care about all that stuff, you know. I don't eat things. Yes, we did, and I enjoy it. But I'm saying all that is that God allowed us year or so to be renewing our mindset, to be faithful over little. But then in the false hope of saying that if everybody gets this jab, things can go back. But see, as the wise, we should not have fell for that okey-doke, right? We should not fail, because Daniel already told us once knowledge is being released, and it has like never before, more and more and more, that the wicked would do more wickedly and not even understand, but the wise should understand. And so we should have never failed for that, okay, because there ain't no going back to that. Even through the word of God, looking at the prophecy that's going on, what's to come. And so false hope got us not staying firm, but falling for the okey-doke, where we're back touching the world in such a way that keep us connected to it, that we don't want to let go, right? We don't want to let go of certain things. I got to have this and I got to have that. We don't understand how God allowed this to come forth, part of prophecy, to give us a year or so. I ain't even talking about a month. God allowed us shedding to stay a whole year until the world, they couldn't take it no more. Oh, we got to open up because they messing with our money. They got to open up because, we need money. We need them to shop. We need them to go out and eat. We need them to spend money. We need them to socialize, be out. This can't keep going on. This messing with our money. This messing with our power. Steadfast and unmovable, even the word of God. Jesus shared with us. He shared with us rejection. Now, don't think this is strange. In us growing from carnal mindset to spiritual mindset, we become strong in being able to stand alone for what is right. Even knowing that it can appear that we are alone in flesh, but never alone because of the Holy Spirit. The apostle said to us, be there one for another. Even God said, I will put your enemy at your foot, at your footstool. You have those that you thought was your enemy, and God had them fighting for you on your behalf. But you have to stand fast and be unmovable. You have to be willing to rest on God's promise, even when the sorrow hits you, of feeling so disconnected from those that you're used to being around. God said, I'm giving you joy for your sorrow. See, when you're feeling like that, you get into the word of God. When you're feeling like that, just go to your chamber and just pray. God knew you would feel like that. Jesus said, God would give you joy, knowing you're going to feel like that. So it's not strange. You have to know the word of God. You know, 2 Timothy 2:15 says, be diligent to present yourself approved to God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, accurately handling the word of truth. In our journey, we have to get broken from religion spirit for real, for real. We really do. In order to even truly surrender to the Father. Because in that being broken from that religion spirit, we're willing to be naked before the Father. We're willing to surrender. We put him first and foremost. We're not wavering with him. Want to follow him in this situation. We're ready to jump boat and follow man in that situation. No, steadfast and unmovable. Steadfast. See, the only way that we can accurately handle the word of truth, we must not only read the word, but we must allow it to be a part of us. As we're reading the word of God, the Holy Spirit will take it in a way where it starts reading you, where you understand you. Some things are revealed in certain scriptures, certain words trigger certain things. The Holy Spirit revealed to you. It become a part of you. It's planted in your heart. I remember when God gave us that topic. The line is drawn in the sand. And I tell you how God was showing me the separation of the wheat and the tares and the sheep. The woods from the sheep. Oh, my goodness. That is being done in front of our eyes. You know, Apostle Paul tells us to test the spirit. You test the spirit by questioning the spirit. You trusting everything. Because if I come and I tell you something, and you take everything I say, and you don't seek it, and you don't question, you don't go to the word of God, that's why sometimes I don't read all of the scriptures. I just give the scripture. Praying that you would go and seek it and read it and allow the Holy Spirit to reveal to you the understanding, wisdom, and knowledge. I tell you, I never had a problem with questioning anything and anyone. But that was because of my dad. I can remember as a young girl, and he told me it was okay to question authority. And that stuck with me. And so even if when I would go to the doctor, you know, and I'm talking as a grown person, I would go to the doctor and jobs and school, wherever I was at, to ask questions, to question someone was a norm to me. And even when I get backlash, like, you know, some people, they get caught up. You know, they feel a certain way because they're not sure in themselves. They worrying about what everybody's thinking about you. So they upset because you asking questions. But now, as a child of God, I know that that is part of our instruction. That is what we're supposed to do. Should nobody be able to give us nothing without us questioning what's in it? What are the side effects? Why this and why that? Test the spirit. Because whatever spirit you are contending with that's not of God, get angry, show itself. It can no longer stay in dormant because you're tagging it, you're dragging it, you're nagging it, you're bombing it, you're pulling it from darkness to the light, and it reveals itself. That's why Paul tells us to test the spirit by questioning it. And so then you know that you're dealing with, you ain't got to assume, you're going to know you're dealing with deceit, lying, anger, bitter. You're going to know the spirit you're dealing with so you can know what to war against, what to bind up, what to loose. You're going to know what darkness you're dealing with. steadfast and unmovable. That's where we at. That's where we at. Because the divide and conquer has already started. Even in some households, they are dealing with this because of that jab. Oh, and if you are that household, if you are one that's dealing with that because of the jab, some did, some didn't, I encourage you to stay connected with like minds. I encourage you to go into your chamber and just pray unto the Father. I encourage you to stay close to the Holy Spirit and allow the Holy Spirit to intercede for you. You ain't got to always say something. You ain't got to always say something. Get into the word of God and speak the word of God into the atmosphere. And let not sorrow fill your heart. And know that God promised you joy. He promised you joy. He promised you joy. This is more insight. I'm your host, Angela D. We invite you to join us by dialing in at 213-943-3551. Or you can link in through the internet at blogtalkradio.com/moreinsight. Even in our maturity, we walk in truth about truth, that it is meant to convict us. It's meant to make us stop, make us think, make us reason. And so when truth is coming forth and we're feeling a certain way in our maturity, we understand that that means there's something going on with us that we got to check. We got to walk in truth and allow the Holy Spirit, give it up to the Holy Spirit, for he will reveal it in the way that we need. Satan used scriptures for his own purpose, twisting it to sound as though he says something it doesn't say. I can remember saying one time that we look at Proverbs, Book of Wisdom, and we look at it and we read it from book to book, from verse to verse. We will see some of that wisdom, some of that scripture in the world, where folks have used it as if they came up with it. It is essential that we get into the Word of God diligently in our study and meditation during this season. See, if we're not on that, if we're not in that, if we don't understand how critical that is in this season, we become so vulnerable to, as James tell us, being double-minded, unstable in all our ways, being caught up in all this confusion that's going on, waving them here, there, everywhere, being led astray. This world have always ran by fear, but the heat done been turned up on fear. But as children of God, there is no fear. We fear nothing. We fear, what can man do to us? In our maturity, we recognize fear. We bind it up. We speak the word of God against it. There is no fear. Fear not, for thou is with you. But this is what the world operates on, right? The principalities, the father of this world, the prince of this world, Satan, that's how he operates. Look at the fear. fear of losing things. Fear of losing things. Their fear stir up where their fear came, they fear of losing power. So they pull false hope in and ain't nothing changed. You still must wear your mask. You still can't be so many people here. There's still social distance. There's still restrictions on traveling. Some of the restrictions so bad that certain countries you can't even visit now. Nothing changed. Oh, steadfast and unmovable. The word of God tells us to be anxious for nothing and pray about everything. Because when you look at that spirit of anxiousness, quick, hurry, fast, you know, I tell you, me and my husband was out yesterday. And he said, come on. And he started laughing. He said, oh, yeah, you ain't into all that. No. When we walk in truth about that ancient spirit, hurry, rush, come on. That's how that spirit operates in your mindset. Everything is all over the place. There's no conscious thinking because you can't even see past this thought, that thought, woo. And because you allow that to operate in your life, there comes frustration. So when that come apart, it's like, there's no thinking and reasoning in your decision. I got to hurry up and do it to get these thoughts out my head. I got to hurry up and do it because I can't handle all this. This is frustrating. But what do the word of God say to us? Be anxious for nothing and pray about everything with prayer and supplication and thanksgiving. Make your request known to the Father. That's why the fruit of Spirit has patience. The patience of the Lord is the spiritually patient. They not worldly patient. Anyone can sit for 15, 30 minutes. Anyone can sit for a couple of hours. Some people can sit for a couple of hours, not say anything. No, the patience of God is truly so different. Oh, it's so different. It becomes so much a part of you that you know it's of the Father. Where you even thanking God, Lord, thank you for your patience. You thanking God because you know it's not of flesh. You know it. You are able to see how the spirit can calm your spirit to the point where you're not thinking heavy, rush. See, that's worldly patience. Because, see, in your sitting still, what is your mind doing? And so that's how the world operates. Hurry, rush. That's what it is. Even that. When we look at the different spirits that affects our soul, so hard that it can hinder and distract us. The word of God give us instructions with them. Anxiety, be anxious for nothing, and pray about everything. Be angry, but do not sin. Fear not, for the Lord is with you. That's why the word of God is so critical. The word of God is so critical. See, it is God. It is his desire that we grow daily in our understanding of him in his word, so that we will remain faithful to the end. Read 1 John 2. Read all of it. 1 John 2. We must grow spiritually. We must grow spiritually. We must grow from a carnal mindset to a spiritual mindset. We must understand that our life is Christ. They are requirements. We are even told how to live, not as control, but to keep us steadfast and unmovable. Galatians 3:1-7 talks about how we should live as disciples, as part of the kingdom. How we should live. We need the scripture, the Holy Spirit, with truth to deal with our struggles, to deal with our experiences, to help us in our self-control, to be humble. We need scripture and the Holy Spirit. Steadfast and unmovable. So as we end tonight, hallelujah, thank you, Lord, for the word. We thank God for his word, for sending his one and only begotten Son. See, sometimes we have to know that trying to do things in our own effort, in our flesh, will not be easy. And we have to learn to embrace the Holy Spirit ever the more. We have to be truthful about self. We have to be truthful about our kicking and screaming, because we don't want to surrender certain things or surrender our all in all to the Father. We have to be truthful. See, there's no scraggling on the fence. Yes, no. There's no in between. Revelation, the churches. God got on the lukewarm church. There's no in between. I'm not on the fence about that jab. It's straight up no for me. I'm not going to stand on a fence when we are in critical time, when the heat has turned up to divide and conquer. These are serious times we're living in. We are truly in prophecy. So there's no in between. Even the word of God tells us, let your yes be your yes and your no be your no. And anything in between, the word of God straight up tells us that is evil. So ain't no in between. But as a God, as a child of God, my war is against the darkness, the wickedness of this world, the principality, the spiritual wickedness in heavenly places. That's my war, not flesh and blood. And so for me, whatever choice you chose, I would not war against you, your flesh and blood. I would war against the spirit, the principalities, the spirit, the spiritual darkness, the wickedness of this world. That's what I war against. I would not take on none of that. I'm kingdom. And as kingdom, that's Satan's plan, not God's plan, to divide and conquer. That's Satan's plan to have you in fear, not God. That's Satan's plan to deceive you, not God. Not God. In our transformation, there are certain things only the Holy Spirit can do. And there are certain things he has given us to do. Only the Holy Spirit can create in our heart the desire to obey God, a new heart. Only the Holy Spirit. But he doesn't obey for us. We must do that. We have a part. We are responsible to clothe ourselves with the character of the Father. But we are dependent on God's Spirit to produce his fruit. We need the fruit of the Spirit. We need it. That is part of our clothing. And only the Holy Spirit can give that to us. Because as the fruit of the Spirit grow in us, become rooted in us, there's not one or two, there's all nine graces become whole. It strengthens us in our steadfast and unmovable. We are responsible to clothe ourselves. We cannot skip the process of the transformation by renewing of our mind. We must surrender. God, the master, he is the master gardener. Prune us. We have to be rooted deep to be steadfast and unmovable for what's to come. The word of God, our two-edged sword, is part of our weapon. Learning to clothe ourselves with the full armor of God is part of our weapon. Praying and fasting is part of our weapon. And you know what? When I just say that, I want to share this with you as far as fasting, because when we fast unto the Father, we put away, we're denying our flesh to allow our spirit man to grow. And you know, one of the brother men in talking yesterday, he shared this. And we was talking about fast, and I was sharing how I fast all the time, you know, sometimes short, sometimes long. But I was sharing my testimony about my first true fast. And why do I say true fast? Because I can remember in the season when God was pulling at me. And where I fellowship, they always fast. They were fast every year. But I struggled with it, right? I used to say, well, we'll be fasting for. Are we going to pray? What is it all about? You know, question, right? Testing everything, right? I never made any excuses. I knew that's just who I was. So I questioned it, right? But this one particular year came around as I started questioning it. And asking, why are we doing this, you know, I don't know about this, you know, and all this and all that, right? But that particular year when I came home from fellowshipping that day, and I can remember sitting in my chamber asking God to give me understanding with it, because I had been there for a minute and I never really partake in it to the degree I knew I did, but I couldn't get what I needed from the flesh. So I went to God and I started asking him. And I tell you, God gave me such revelation and understanding about fasting. And so I ended up fasting that year at the same time they was. But I fast unto God. I did it different. I fed myself spiritually and all that. When I tell you, spiritually, everything changed for me. And so after the fast had stopped, it was a women's conference. And I had been still fasting. And I tell you, I was on clouds. It was like an out-of-body experience. And it was so life-changing. And so I was sharing that how I didn't struggle in that fast. Like, I had struggled plenty of times, and to walk in truth, that's one of the reasons that I was, I ain't doing all that and all, because my mind was saying, girl, you know you can't make it past a day. for real. So that really what was going on. But after that real fast with the Father, everything changed. But one of the things the brother man was saying yesterday, because he was sharing some things to help those that was, you know, that we was on the call that we was talking. And he said one of the things that he learned when he truly understood fasting was that in his third day of a fast, and the Holy Spirit spoke to him, and he ran water. He ran nothing but water. And he got in his tub, and he immersed himself in the water. And he said he could not believe how that strengthened him in his flesh to keep going. And that particular time, he had enough fasted for 30 days. And I thought about that, right? Because what happens when we start fasting? Because, see, as we deny our flesh, our spirit man opens more to the Holy Spirit. It's a spiritual thing. And so we're doing things spiritually to build our spirit man up to be able to deny our flesh when we need to, not be so easily tempted, right? And so when he was sharing how he would get in the tub and merge his body and the water touching his flesh, right? Because, see, after a while, you start saying, oh, I need some water. And see, that's how he fast told him, I only did that one time. And I said, now, if I had that right there, I probably would have done it more. So I told him, I said, oh, I'm going to try that. But see, I can see how that could help, right? Because our body needs water, right? It really do. It needs more water than we think, right? And you know how the doctors say, oh, you dehydrate. But think about this, too. This is how much your body needs water. Sometimes we have body, like, bone aches and our body aching, and we're feeling like, oh, man, drink water. See, that's how your body talking to you. And the first thing you need to think about is water, right? I know sometimes first thing we think about, oh, give me a lead. But I encourage you to try this, the water, right? But I'm sharing that with those who fasten that way, how I can see your flesh receiving the water that away, right? Refreshing you. I'm feeding your joints and your organs and your blood from emerging. Because you know when we hit the water, when we get in our bath, when we get in our shower, our pores open, it takes in that water. So the next time you're fasting and you feel overwhelmed, just get in a tub of water, just immerse yourself and bring yourself back up and feed your body, your bones, your joints, your blood, your organs from water. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. So this end our talk tonight, steadfast and unmovable. Let not sorrow fill your heart. I pray that each word that was released on tonight will touch your soul in a way that will have you thirst and hunger for righteousness out of the moon. I pray God would guide you to the scriptures that you would need in your journey at this time in this season. Oh, sister, girl, and brother, men, never forget. Matthew 10 tells us that, I want to read it, and you will be hated all for my name's sake. But he who endures to the end will be saved. Never forget that, sister, girl, and brother, men. Jesus showed us how rejection and hatred was part of his journey. But then he showed us how to deal with it. He would go away and pray to the Father. He would go to his quiet place. He would go in the wilderness. And that is what we should do. So there will be no sorrow filling our hearts. Thank you for joining us tonight on More Insights. I'm your host, Angela D. I thank God for each and every one of you. I stand on the wall for each one of you. I plead the blessings over your life, over your journey, from the crown of your head to the soles of your feet. I plead the blood of Jesus over your family, over your children. Hallelujah. I ask God to keep a host of angels around our children. Hallelujah. We bind that spirit that's trying to steal their innocence in the name. That lying and deceitful, that spirit of fornication, that spirit of lust, we bind you off for the next generation in the name of Jesus. Oh, Father, keep a hedge of protection around them in the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you for their life. Father, strengthen us to download even more wisdom, knowledge, and understanding to them. Lord, teach us how to stand on the wall for them. Hallelujah. Oh, Father, let us understand how that they are at the top of the target. Hallelujah. Let us not be deceived with Satan's trickery. Lord, touch each and every one of us, cleanse our hearts, and renew a right spirit in us. Hallelujah. Lord, let us learn to be there one for another, to pray for one another, to encourage one another, to correct one another in love. Lord, I ask you in all these things in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Good night, sister girls. Thank you for joining us. Brother men, we thank you. We love you. Good night and God bless. Hallelujah.
Amen. Good night.
Good night. Good night.